Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, we're back. It's another week, another exhausting week, another exciting week, another just another week. With me, as always, I have two amazing things. Oh, by the way, me, I'm Patrice, interim host, because Jeff is on parent duty. I heard earlier, and I'm like, that works. That makes sense. He's taking care of some family stuff. And but I have with me two amazing people as always, starting off with a really cool shirt as always. Chuck, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, Patrice. I'm kind of in your shape. I'm recovering from NAB and a second conference as well last week. And so, yeah, you know, go sleep.
Yeah, same. Yeah, if you can't tell from my voice, I'm back from a digital medical conference fair, whatever, trade fair in Berlin. And my brain is not working, so it's probably like yours, Chuck, is completely gone. Like left it at the NAB, probably.
It's somewhere between mush and, you know, and yes. Of course, coming back, you know, you've got a ton of emails, you've got a ton of things to do, and it is what it is.
Exactly. I mean, thank God it's Friday, so.
Yeah.
at least we have a weekend to recover. The other person, I think, slowly looking like you're moved into your new office. Dave, how are you doing?
I moved. I probably just have stuff everywhere. I've been reaching for stuff all the time, you know. But I'm doing good. I had cataract surgery on my left eye this week. That went very well.
Good.
Made sure they use a laser to get into it. None of those instruments. And my God, the left eye is like, I can see you now. And the right eye's thanking me because it doesn't have to work. And the right eye's thanking me because I can. It's not working as hard anymore.
Yeah, that's tiring.
It worked really. I was ready and I was up and going the next day and went back to work the second day. So
wow, stuff, that was quick. Quick turnaround. Yeah. Yeah, but then you're also in the U.S. Like it's like days off, recovery. Pretty sad.
No, you get them too. Come on, you got all the holidays and more than we do. So.
No, that's what I meant. Like you're basically not getting as much days off as others. No. Like it's like, hey, you had open heart surgery. Like you can be in the office tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
It's like, where's the problem?
Could have took longer time. I opted not to because I would go crazy. Glad to be here. And it's been an interesting week with Apple for sure.
It for sure has been. Yeah, speaking of.
So, David, before we go, I just want to say that, you know, since you've had the cataract surgery, now you can see us. We're really sorry.
That's true. Oh my God, it's so no. It's good.
Yeah, it's like, oh my God, they really look like that? Oh no.
It's red.
That's funny. Yeah, speaking of Apple news this week, there was nothing going on, right? No big announcements, nothing. It's like super boring. It's like, no, of course not. Big announcement. What was it? Monday night, I want to say. Monday night, like after the stock market had closed, as usual for this type of announcement. As predicted by me, I want to point out, Apple announced that there is a succession plan and Tim Apple will be at least CEO no more as of September 1st. And there will be a replacement. That is me. No, actually, it's not. They called me. I declined and said, sorry, I don't want to work with some orange guy. So sorry. So they had to pick John Furness.
Wow. And I wasn't going to bring that up because there was some major irritation on my part with that orange person.
Yes. No. It's like, no. So... they had to take the second best, which is John Turnus. No, I'm of course kidding. Like they picked John Turnus, of course. Not a big surprise, right? I mean, the timing was a bit of a surprise. I think a lot of people were thinking maybe towards the end of the year, like, or beginning of next year could be the time. And they basically did it now. But the person, I think that was kind of had settled on John Turner's right. Dave, what do you think? Like, was that a surprise for you? Part... Did you think, okay?
No. I mean, you know, John Turner, I mean, he started when he was a kid. He was 25 mm-hmm. years old when he started with Apple. So mm-hmm. now he's been, we do the math, he's been with Apple 25 years.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
He had some brilliant, he does brilliant work with the, mm-hmm. in the hardware division. He was doing it for a long time. And he's young, which is great. He's got a lot of great things ahead of him. He works well. People, everybody have said good things about him and how he'll be. He'll definitely do things different than what Tim mm-hmm. did. Tim has a legacy now. I mean, he was the longest tenured CEO, and that because 15 years.
Wow. I didn't think about that. Yeah, right. I mean, he surpassed even Steve Jobs, which was at the helm quite a long time.
Yeah. So, but the good thing is Tim's going to stay on as the executive chairman. Mm-hmm. He'll still have some day-to-day involvement. He just won't have to be in the limelight and the face of Apple anymore. Because that there's a lot of pressure on the CEO for sure.
Mm-hmm.
We definitely know that with some friends we have that are CEO, and they they have their struggles too. But for as massive of a company as Apple, I think it's going to probably help him real well. And the mm-hmm. thing is, he says that his health is great. So.
Yeah.
Which I'm not surprised.
Yeah, I mean, that was, we kind of talked about that towards the end of last year and beginning of this year, that there was this whole, I mean, there was this kind of shake up on this like, I want to say executive level, summer in December, right, where like some people were leaving, whatever. And I think I said back then that like, I think they've settled on a plan for this year from when they will like transition, and they're kind of getting some, let's say, some changes that maybe people wanted to leave or whatever out of the way, so that like John can basically start with a established and settled setup. There was one minor change we'll talk about in a second, but yeah, it's kind of, yeah. I mean, the good thing is, I think there's again a hardware person at the helm, right? Someone who thinks products, who's built a lot of amazing products. Not everything was great, as always. Like, so sometimes you will design something and then realize, okay, maybe it wasn't the best. But that's just normal, right?
It's interesting. First of all, Turnus was not a surprise. Turnus seems to be a very, very good choice. I love the fact that he's been there that long, because that means that if there's anybody that understands Apple's culture, it's got to be a guy that's been there that long.
Yeah.
Even with the ebbs and flows and some of the changes in the culture between, you know, the previous CEOs and not just Steve, but also some of the others. I always think it's interesting at these times that, you know, suddenly we're evaluating Tim Cook's career in terms of success, quote unquote successes
normal.
And quote unquote failures. Yeah, it's normal. But, you know, I this obsession with looking at the past and passing judgment on things, you know, let's look to the future and let's, you know, say, okay, now we've got a guy who, I mean, Tim was always the supply side guy, or supply chain guy, excuse me.
Yes.
Now John's a hardware guy, and you know, that's good. I think it's going to be really interesting to see from the design changes. Also, you know, it's being talked about a lot less, but there's some internal restructuring going on.
Yes,
there, you know, which I was kind of encouraged when I saw some of that, because it felt like maybe things are a little less segmented. So I, you know, and the other thing too, we're all looking from the outside. I mean, you know Apple, okay? This did not just happen overnight. It's not like, with no disrespect intended, you know, it's not like Tim just decided, no, I'm done, or you know, he or worse, he got sick or something. You know, it this was planned, There was one, yeah, and there was one piece I saw, and I'm sorry I can't give credit to it because I'd like to, but that this just kind of proves that Apple can still keep secrets as long as the supply chain isn't involved. Because this was all internal, and you know, was it rumored? Was there speculation? Absolutely. Were there a couple, you know, flags raised, you know, with Turnus attending certain functions? Yes. But at the end of the day, nobody saw the announcement coming this quick, this soon. You know, there was not even Gurman didn't say, oh yeah, next week Tim is stepping down.
You know, I mean, so yes and no. Right. I mean, the expectation actually was there was this whole rumor that it would even happen like beginning of this year, right? Or towards Christmas, I think after Christmas or something. So in a way, it was rumored, but you're right. I mean, on a change like this is easy to keep a secret, right? Because like who needs to know? The board members need to know, right? Because they're voting for him. And the executive team, because they should know, right? And of course, the person or the people involved, right? So Tim and John. Nobody else needs to know until they make an official, like also, you know, SEC rules and so on, official statement. So it's easy to keep a secret like this. Like, and I mean, to be fair, nothing is changing until September, right? I mean, or not, well, I shouldn't say nothing, because for sure they will start internally handing things over now, making it official. He will basically step by step step in and so on, and Tim will probably step out of things. But on, let's say, on the org chart, nothing changes yet.
Not officially.
Again, yes.
if you know, if you go through any CEO transitions, which we have, and you know, even with Steve, I mean, his was kind of enforced because of the health situation.
Yeah.
But step away from Apple. Mm. If a company is smart, it doesn't, you know, on Friday the old CEO quits and Monday the new CEO starts. You know, there's a period of transition where they're both there. Or maybe, and
I've had both happen. So at the company I work at. So I've had hey, by the way, the CEO is out and there's an interim CEO and it's basically Monday or something. And I've had the, let's say, more ordered transition that we got here. So
sure. Well, look, it depends completely. It depends completely on the circumstances.
Yes.
But here, you know,
And this is Apple, I mean, right?
Yeah, this is Apple, and you know they're up in the trillions.
Mm-hmm.
This just feels like it's being done the way it should be. Nobody's being pushed out. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Tim is going to be, you know, executive chairman, and so you know, and I've even kind of speculated to myself that because there's some companies out there that are doing co-CEOs. I don't think Apple will ever do a co-CEO, but Tim could certainly be put into a position of doing certain things that he likes. I mean, you know, we're not going to do politics, but Tim has been masterful at handling the political situation.
And he will keep doing that.
Yes.
That was announced. Like it so that's right. Official.
Right. And whether you like it or not, whether you like it, whether you agree with it, you know, that mm-hmm. doesn't matter. You know, it's
just reality.
He has done what is good for Apple.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's what the CEO should do.
Yeah. Yeah. Tim is basically in a sense in a different role, but in a sense stepping into the position that Steve Jobs would have had, right? An executive like chairman of the board. So really still doing things, but on a, let's say, a different scale and different things and more maybe also choice basis, what he wants to do / what also the CEO wants him to do, right? Is also part of it.
Right.
And Tim and Steve would have done probably the same thing if he had the chance, because the type of person he was. But I mean, I think this is Tim chose this because I think he wanted a orderly transition for change, because so far Apple has not had that at all, basically. It's always been kind of tumultuous in a way, and I think he wanted to be like, okay, let's like, I mean, Apple today is a very different company than it was 15 years ago. It's a very different company than it was 25 years ago.
Sure.
And so on. Like, and Apple today is more in control. So this is a very Apple transition.
Yeah, and
the way it should be.
Yes, and it should be. Yes. Yeah, and Tim can keep going as long as he wants, and then eventually he might step down and say, okay, I'm done. It will probably be silent. I don't think, at some point they will have to make it official because he has an official title, but it will probably be mostly silent, where it's like step by step you see less and less, maybe in, I don't know, 10 years. Who knows?
Well, and you know, there's one other point too, that the stock market's reaction to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and because yes, the day after there it dropped, but
it's always
there's
that.
Also well, but more
any announcement from Apple is always like that.
but that day there was a huge drop in the Dow. Mm-hmm. So and Apple's kind of been following the Dow to some degree.
Yes.
And so the Dow bounced back, Apple came mm-hmm. back, and then Apple kept on going up even when the Dow didn't go up.
Yeah.
And so to me, it's like that was a reaction to the overall market, not to Tim's announcement that mm-hmm. this has been very stable from the market standpoint. And I was really happy to see that, because the analysts, even though I disagree with them a lot of the time, nobody was crying wolf here.
Yeah.
You know, it was all good. So I feel like that validates the approach they're taking.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, I just checked it. There was kind of a drop. There wasn't really a drop too much. Like there was actually later on Tuesday than a drop, but I'm not sure how much that was related. There wasn't immediately a big drop, like a little one maybe. But so I think this was more market than anything else. I think overall I would say it's more people are seeing it as a positive sign, because it's like
mm-hmm.
it's not that Tim is bad, it's not that this necessarily changes a lot of things. I don't think it will, because it will take time, right? I mean. That's the thing people forget, right? John Turner has been doing his job for the last 25 years. A lot of the things he's worked on are going to come out the next couple of years still. That he's worked on directly in his, well, as of September 1st, and former position, his still current position. Or kind of current position. So, as always, like, it took a little while until the effects of Steve Jobs on Apple subsided to the degree that they can, like, I mean, for someone who kind of shaped the company. But let's say the direct influence that a CEO has kind of disappears over time a little bit. And the same thing will happen for Tim, right? There will be some differences, but you will notice them, if you notice them at all, in like 5 years or something. Like, there might be some immediate things, like that's usually more people, like maybe we've seen that already, that some people left. But other than that, some people left, some people changed jobs, all of that. But I think overall, it's not. There's no immediate effect, I would expect. As it should be, right? It is not. Fortunately, CEO is also not magic. I mean, how long did it take even Steve Jobs to fix Apple, or to get Apple to a point where it was a working company again? It took a while.
Yeah. No, you're not wrong. I mean, and look, there's always going to be a certain period of disruption.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but the amount of time for this transition feels like it's going to minimize mm-hmm. that disruption.
Yeah.
Because Tim obviously is going to have some input, but John is also going to have some input. And
yeah,
I've again, I don't know anything. I'm no better than the other people that are speculating on this. But that said, I feel like John had to have a lot of the input, like with, you know, putting Johnny Cerucci in charge of, you know, so of the hardware and doing the things that have been done. You know, John, they're obviously putting in place the organization that John wants.
Mm-hmm.
And yes. I'm sure if there had been any major objections from Tim, that some of that would have been altered. So it just feels like you know, from between now and September, there's going to be an evolution. Didn't I see something? I caught it last night that I guess the gentleman that was supposed to be shepherding the S Lady evolution was talking about leaving, and then now some kind of speculation, his deal has been struck that he's going to stick around for at least a period of time. So
I had thought that he was already let go.
That's what I heard.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, no, I know. I know who you're thinking of, but this was another one.
Oh, I see.
Yes, he was gone. You're right. But this was another gentleman that was, I guess, had been rumored or was thinking about going on or was on the way out. And now he's been pulled back and he's being retained, let's say. So.
Yeah, I put in the chat also the community letter that Tim sent.
Yes.
Titled Community Letter from Tim, posted on the Apple website, on apple.com.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and it was really interesting. I mean, sure, there were like some of it is like, kind of him announcing what they had announced in the newsroom and like, this is not a goodbye and it's a transition and all of that. But it felt like for many years, Tim is a very reserved person. That's my experience from like seeing him and seeing him act in public and whatever. He's a very private, a very very reserved person, very measured. This was one of the few times where I felt this was more personal, and you saw a little bit, 100% PR and marketing, and everybody has read through this, and lawyers and whoever has read through this letter and probably checked it and double checked it and make sure that nothing bad can come from this, basically. But it felt like a little bit of his personality came through, like a little bit more of the private, let's put it this way, a private Tim Cook came through a little bit, and I really like that. Right, but also the let's look to the future part is very clear in this letter. Right, yeah. He's not. I mean, there is some mention like, what he's done and whatever, but for the most part, it is about okay, let's move on. Let's have a bright future and all that. Do you think that the date, the September 1st, is there a reason for it? Did they pick it? Did they pick it on purpose, like to say, oh, it has to be September instead of December or something else?
Yeah, I do, because he wants to get his last hurrah with the WWDC. I think it's one of the things. And that's what tends to happen with CEOs and when things like that happen. Sometimes they happen early in the first quarter. And I've experienced it in my work quite a couple times now.
Yeah.
They tend to... Yeah, they want to get through the first quarter, and then they say their goodbyes and
or the end of the financial year, right? It's also quite common to say end of whatever the financial year is. Yes,
right. Mm-hmm. Depending on Apple, I think does run close to the quarters of normal. They're a little different.
Yes, but shifted by 3 months, right? The first quarter of their financial year is the Christmas quarter, basically.
Right. Yeah. So I think he wanted to do his lasting goodbyes to everybody and get through WWC and then he leads right into the fall new releases and such.
Yeah, but also give Turnus the chance to basically announce the hardware he has worked on, right?
I'm sure he will.
Announce the hardware for the holiday shopping season. Mm-hmm. Announce as Dave said, the updates that we will undoubtedly hear about at WWDC will then actually be, in the gun sights of release. And just, kind of set the expectations for Apple, without having to, just do it by the calendar year. At the very least, that there's going to be a positive response to the new iPhone. unless they did something unbelievably dumb, and that's just not Apple. So no. John is going to kind of walk in right, in on an uptake, and I think it's very strategic, and I think it's kind of brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I was just thinking, I think Chuck, you said it, that it's kind of the beginning of the year, right? Like WWDC is kind of the let's say pre-announcement, where they say, hey, this is coming, but really September is the beginning of the Apple year, because this is when the big iOS and iPhones and then everything else starts rolling out for the fall holiday. Right? It's like usually first week of September somewhere, or second week latest is when the event is. I mean, Apple has become very predictable, right, in that sense, which is, I think, a very Tim Cook thing. Like, annual schedules, releases happen more or less on a predictable WWDC. You basically know when it's happening, like all of that. But WWDC is not the beginning of the year, because they're still selling the old stuff. They're still shipping iOS versions with the old versions. It's really September. So it makes sense. To say, instead of, as you said, beginning of the year, end of the year, beginning of the financial year, which would have been beginning of October, which goes right in the middle of everything, do it before. So we kind of skirted across it a little bit. There was another shakeup, or another, not shakeup, another change in leadership. And one that I found rather interesting. So we have Johnny and Johnny at helm now, again, kind of. Because Johnny Srouji, and this one is effective immediately, was named Apple's chief hardware officer. Mm-hmm. So that one was more of a surprise, I would say. Tuck, what do you think?
We've seen Johnny Srouji, in some of the video presentations. Mm-hmm.
For a long time.
And so it's one of those that it feels like, again, a nice continuation, that there's not somebody coming in from the outside, mm-hmm. and going to go crazy and try to remake things.
Yeah.
This a very personal impression, but Johnny Srouji seems to be also a hardware guy, for obvious, in the sense that we're not going to have the Johnny Ive, oh my God, this is made out of unobtainium. it's going to be a little more focused on actually delivering features and power that people can use,
yes,
and want to use, and taking nothing away from Johnny Ive. Johnny Ive was brilliant. He just had certain obsessions that influenced Apple's design. And maybe we'll see the same with Johnny Srouji. Maybe we'll all be saying, oh, we wish they would go back to making things thinner and thinner and thinner.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't feel like that's going to be a priority.
There is a certain risk, right, with having two hardware people at helm. Right? Turdus as a hardware person, Srouji as a hardware person. Like, there is a certain risk. Like in hindsight, the brilliance of Jobs and Ive was, Jobs could do a lot of everything, but he was very much a product person and also a let's ship something and a tech person, whatever. And Ive was a really good designer, and they balanced each other out a little bit. Like, didn't go overboard on the design, but also didn't go overboard on like, let's say, the hardware and the right on that side.
Patrice, that's an interesting point, because did after Steve was gone, maybe I hadn't thought about it in these terms before, but there was nobody to counteract Johnny's obsessions.
Yeah.
And so some of his most brilliant designs came when he and Steve were together, and some of the things that we've all kind of joked about came after Steve was gone and after the partnership was gone.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about it in exactly those terms. And so you know, it'll just all be very interesting to see how it plays out.
Yeah. On the other hand, Turnus and Scorchy have been doing this for the last decade-ish, a little bit more, I think, already. So, and there was, I don't think Tim Cook was the person balancing it out, maybe other than from the production side, like, can we produce it? So maybe this is going to be fine. We'll see. But Dave, I mean, I was also surprised, right, that it's a new position. Like, the chief hardware officer did not exist before. I mean, Apple has very few chief whatever officers, to be honest. Right? They have a CEO. Yeah. They had a COO for a little while, I think. CFO, of course, because they had two. But a design officer in Johnny for a while. And when he left, that position was basically not filled again like that, or not. There's no chief design officer anymore. So Apple is very selective with naming someone a chief officer.
Yeah, I mean, they're not a completely normal company. You know, working for other companies that have a CTO, a chief technical officer. You have the CIO, the chief information officer. And you have CMO,
CHRO, and yes.
Yeah, chief HR officer, you know, it just goes on and on for some companies, but Apple's unique in that sense that they make the decisions how to do things, but they also stay within the corporate ways of business.
Yeah, I mean, some of it is also, of course, dictated by SEC and whatever policies and rules that they have to follow, right?
Right.
But it's, as I said, it's interesting. Do you think there's more to that story, like why Scorchy was made like chief hardware officer?
Just his hardware knowledge, I think, in itself. I mean, he was visible during a lot of presentations before. So his knowledge obviously helps, and knowing the hardware world when it comes to that. Yeah. So I think that was a couple of things.
But he was already senior vice president of, what was it, Hardware Technologies, I think is the official title. Mm-hmm. So was there a reason to give him the chief title that didn't exist and basically invent, or not invent that, but create it again?
It could have been influenced by John Turnus too, since he was running that division, and it's basically he wanted to pick his successor.
Yeah, but I mean, he could have been like, okay, you're a senior vice president of hardware, right? And just keep it on that level and simply change it from, there were two, right? There was the hardware technologies and hardware engineering, and Turnus was hardware engineering, and Scorchy was hardware technologies.
Yeah. Maybe they want to merge them into one.
Yeah, but they could have, I mean, they've done that in the past, and they literally, I mean, just say senior vice president of hardware. Like, that, for me, it's an interesting step to say, okay, we're going to elevate him to chief hardware officer. You
know, I feel like it's, you know, arose by any other name.
Yeah, I'm sure. But it does matter.
It matters, but we don't know if it matters, because we don't know what exactly the responsibilities will be assigned. If the responsibilities are different, then, you know, maybe it does matter if there suddenly is if the capabilities, the responsibilities, the decision making of a chief hardware officer are different than a senior vice president of, you know, again, I can't get excited over it.
It is what it is. It's not about excitement. It's just a very curious step. I mean, like, the last time this happened, they did it for Johnny Ive, basically to free him up from the day-to-day of designing the hardware and being like allowed to, or giving him the responsibility for Apple Park and whatever, and also kind of giving him something to stay in the company for a while. I have a feeling, because there were some rumors end of the last year or beginning of this year, that Scorchy was kind of not happy. And maybe he was hoping that he might take over a CEO role. I think that he was even rumored to do so. And maybe this was kind of a way to say, hey, like, we value you, we want you here, and we're gonna do this for you and make you more visible that way, even though you are already a very important and somewhat visible person, but give you this extra boost. Kind of also thank you for the amazing job he's done. I mean, he is behind all the, basically all the chips that drive everything at Apple at this point.
Right? So. Yeah, I, you know, like, again, you know, we'll see what, we will find out more as things fall into place.
Yeah, or not, right? I mean, stuff like that sometimes also, because it's very personal, like person to person might just forever stay in secret, right? Which is also fine. Like, I think I agree with you. It's not. I have a feeling day to day it's not going to matter as much. He's going to do an amazing job. He's going to take over hardware. He would have done that no matter what. So it's that. It's, I think it's more about the recognition and maybe the visibility. And maybe also a bit of a signal to the market to say, hey, like hardware is very, very important to us. Well, we'll see. Yeah. Hardware is important to us as one of the key people who was responsible for the hardware kind of steps into a role where that is less of his day-to-day, right? Because Turnus for sure will not have the time probably to do, at least not as much as he's been doing before, to work on the hardware and drive the hardware business or the hardware department. But now he has someone who takes that over. So easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't think there was not too much that happened in the news. There was one other thing I wanted to mention. There was this FBI case that I found quite interesting. Apparently, I wouldn't call it a flaw in iOS, allowed the FBI to extract deleted signal messages, or actually, to be correct, the push notifications for deleted signal messages, not the messages themselves. From the device, because the push notifications were stored in a database, and which you need to, right? This makes sense. They weren't deleted when the push notification was kind of removed, or the message was. I mean, basically, when the message in Signal isn't removed, is removed or expires or whatever. It doesn't get removed from the database because the push notification is still cached basically on the local device. So, bug probably, but also kind of expected.
I didn't dig into this too much. Mm-hmm. I'm not enough of a programmer to know whether mm-hmm. this is a failure of the app or the service, because the push notification would seem to have. You would think that a push notification would be retained.
Mm-hmm. It has to be if you want to show it on device. If you want to show it in your lock screen, I mean, worst case, even when the phone is locked, some people have that enabled, right? That they want to see the push notification even if the phone is locked. You need a database somewhere.
Yeah.
An accessible one, right?
Yeah. So, you know, that's it. I can't, you know, again, it feels like maybe a setting needs to be set so that, you know, how quickly do you want this to disappear? And do you want, it feels, if you don't have push notifications, then you're really taking away a really important part of that. The functionality of that type of app.
Yeah.
On the other hand, if you were really that crazy, hyper concerned, mm-hmm. maybe there should be a setting the message comes in. Is there the message?
There's
comes
a setting
in
Signal.
Get a push notification.
Yeah. There's in Signal. There is a setting to disable that, which that person apparently didn't use. So that's I mean one on their side. Like that if you're concerned, if you're doing something, I don't know, I guess illegal or whatever, because FBI, I don't know what the case is. That makes sense, right? We should disable that. I still think there's a bug because it should probably not be retained for so long. And apparently that's what I, at least what the articles are saying. It was retained for longer than what was reasonable, let's put it this way.
Well, then if it was, then it is a bug.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's it. Like as I said, it's just interesting. Like something that a lot of people might not be aware of, that of, which like for you and me, like even if you're not a developer, you can reason and say, okay, like in order to show it, you have to have a database, and so it gets retained somewhere, right? Most people don't know that, or don't think about that. Yeah, I think we should probably close the news site and talk about our sponsor for this show, which is R Technologies, awtechnologies.co.uk. Really cool. Really cool kind of environmental monitoring service, you'd call it. They have the multiple award-winning Sentry system, which you can use at construction sites, at event locations outdoor festivals and concerts and whatever. And like it combines multiple sensors in a really unique way, because you can basically combine like time-lapse video, like dust sensors, vibration, temperature, I think light, it was mentioned. You can basically all correlate them together and see what's going on. I mean, sometimes you have to do that from a legal perspective, especially in Europe. But sometimes it's also good for your processes and so on, and for your workers to see like what are the processes and your like whatever you're working on, are they optimized? Is there things to improve? Is there risks that you maybe have, like vibrations that might be too much and so on? So it's a really cool system, like used a lot in the UK on rail and on rail construction sites, but also, for example, on Asia's too. But also I've seen, as I said, like concerts or like, I think it was like an outdoor festival where they use that. So that's pretty cool. Like sound, I think noise level is also one that's measured, so you can use that as well. Works anywhere in the world. So like if you have a construction, like in, I don't know, maybe California is building a like a high-speed rail system and needs something, or I don't know, Austria is right now building a lot. Could work there too. So if you're interested, head over to awtechnologies.co.uk. And thank you for sponsoring this show. And one of the things we do with this sponsored server is we have a live stream. So we live stream this very show on a website on live.britishtechnetwork.com. You can just head over there every Friday, 4 p.m. UK time for this very show. And then, it's like all the other streaming services. It's super easy to use. Like the video on the left, chat on the right. Can watch us, you can talk to us. We post the links to the stories. We post the links to the cool things that are coming up. Yeah, it's just all the good things. So just head over there. By the way, Thursdays 7 p.m. UK time is the big show. So if you're more onto chip design, space, Android, Windows, Linux, like all of that stuff, anything but Apple tech, also a good show for that. Speaking of, I should mention, yeah, we have a transcript. britishtechnetwork.com/chat is where you find the transcript. If you're listening to this later, you can still find everything. Just pick today's date, which is April 24th, 2026. If you pick that date in the calendar, you will see everything we talked about. Now we can do the cool things. And I don't know, who's first? I didn't check the chat. Who was fastest,
Dave,
I think?
Dave.
I think it was Dave. Dave, ooh.
I got two of them here.
You got even two of them. Two for one.
Yes, two for one. A technology item and an app. This is made by Anker. We love Anker. They make some amazing products. This is the Anker Smart Display Charger. I got the orange one. There it is right there. Mm-hmm. It matches my Cosmic Orange phone really nicely, doesn't it? But
it does.
It does have a display on this, which is really cool. So it shows the status of all the charging, and it's foldable, so you can go in different positions. So that's always a challenge whenever you're in a hotel and trying to put this into a plug, so you can put them in two positions. And it's got one part, because it's just basically made to travel with your iPhone. But it's got recognition for built-in care mode on here. Everything up displays on this, and it shows the status of the charging and what it's doing. Super cool. And they put this on a big discount. It's 30% off. It's $28 US. And yeah, again, you can't go wrong with Anker. And I think they make really great products. So
they do.
That is that one. And I wanted to mention this one. This is an app. This app was actually designed by our good friend Don McAllister of Screencast Online fame. He was running into a little bit of dilemma with trying to manage music. He didn't want to really get a DJ for his daughter. Just got married in March last month, actually. There was nothing in the App Store that he had that would work flawlessly for the day. So he went through and decided, you know what? I need to create a music player that can not only play the ceremony music, it can create playlists for all of the things that are available that it does. But he put a perfect little app here. It's $7.99 US, $7.99 and UK euro. It has unlimited ceremony events. It'll mix Apple Music tracks and custom files, so you can put it into a mix. It uses live mode and locked panic-proof controls, volume normalization across tracks. But the best thing is, you know, you always are having a dilemma with Wi-Fi, but this app can work completely offline. So if it's an airplane mode, you just go on, you got the songs all downloaded, ready to go. You got the playlists, you got the ceremony music, and who needs a DJ? You got this, and you have your phone, works on iPhone or iPad. And I was real impressed with Don, and I gave him a shout out on InTouch with iOS. He was really happy. I figured, why not do it here too? Because Don's a friend of the show. So
yeah, absolutely.
Check it out. It's a great app. I've been playing around with it. Jeff Kamen made a comment, and Don acknowledged it, that we really should brand this so that it could be a music player for anything, not just necessarily weddings. So he said, stay tuned. There might be some updates to this. But Don's a great guy. We miss him on Screencast Online. He's on once in a while. Lee Garrett's doing a great job with Screencasts. Give him some support. This is a great little app he put together. He designed it himself, which is great.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's a cool idea. And I mean, he's also right. Like, a lot. There is people who really care about the music at their weddings and like want, like, they're really like into, like, want to have a DJ and all of that. Like, hey, do it. Like, not a problem. But a lot of people, it ends up being like it's just someone who's running a playlist in the background, and you pay them a lot of money for it. And
exactly. and some of them are cheesy too sometimes.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes. So, like, you have to, you can decide not to do that, and there is a good option for that. Absolutely. Very cool, very cool. Also a cool thing, it's metal, so maybe that's the bridge. Yeah. Is Chuck's cool thing.
Well, first of all, congratulations, Don, on the app. That will never, I will never be using it for its named purpose.
Good.
Get that out there right there, right quick. I wanted to bring this up because for a couple reasons. I just came back from NAB, and most of my shooting rig comes from Small Rig, from their hardware. Not all of it, but most of it. And inevitably, some things need, in the environment where you're carrying things around, sometimes the connections can get a little loose, or sometimes they just need to be tightened down so much that you need a tool to then tighten them that much and get them loose again. And so this is a little toolkit from Small Rig. It's a small folding tool set with some screwdrivers, some hex wrenches, and some other features. And this was perfect because the ones that are included fit the especially the hex. They fit the hex that Small Rig uses.
Nice.
So, you know, it's just a nice little toolkit. It's not expensive. You know, you can go crazy with the Leathermans and, you know, have 900 tools that you'll never use. This one really is focused on, you know, one thing, and that is working with Small Rig video rigs. And it's a great investment. Because that way, then you don't have, you're not having to buy the tool sets and say, oh, well, I need this many hexes, but I need this many screwdrivers. No, everything here is in nice, one small, little, very affordable package. If you've purchased any small rig products, you know that they are quality products in spite of not being the most expensive products. I've got right now a cage from my iPhone that I used this time around that is, it's borderline indestructible. I mean, I guess I could damage it if I really tried, but I would really have to try, and I would
if
probably
you, if you
myself.
Shot it into the sun, you might be able to destroy it. But
yeah, I'd probably hurt myself before I would hurt the cage. So if you're in the market for this kind of thing, and if you haven't experimented with some of this stuff, small rig is a great way to do just that. Experiment. Yes.
To hurt yourself. No.
Yeah, well, experiment and find out if it can enhance what you're doing with your iPhone or iPad from a video perspective, because their tools are, all their products are great, they're high quality, they're not terribly expensive, and this is something that will take that even a little bit farther.
Yeah, I love that little detail that they added threads to the side, like a little screw holes, where you can store screws. So like you don't lose them if you're doing something or whatever, or you need some, you want to store some spares that you might need if you're working on your small rig gear. So that's really cool. It's a cool little detail.
And Patrice, you know, that's exactly it. Small rig really does kind of sweat the details. And you know, they don't just slap something down that's a cheap knockoff of something else. They really put every possible use case in. I had a great conversation with them that'll be coming up on Mac Voices from the NAB show floor that sort of addresses some of that. So, but yeah, this pick is not a result of that interview. This pick is a result of me using their products.
Very cool. That's a really cool one. All right. My cool thing is, I think I picked the audiobook for this a couple of weeks ago. It's the David Polk, Apple, the first 50 years. Wow, that's hard. Book. I got it printed finally. It took like 2 or 3 weeks to ship here because I don't know why, but it seems to be not available in Europe, but they just ship it over, so who cares? I've only like skimmed it a little bit. I mean, I've listened to the audiobook, so I know like most of the content, but I wanted to have it in printed because it's kind of the
pictures.
It's the compendium for Apple's history, at least. Well, up until like a couple of years ago, because there's probably some details that the people that are still working at Apple didn't tell him about, because that's how Apple works. But the pictures in the printed book are really cool. Like there's, for example, here I just opened a random page and there's like a picture of the Apple business cards and stuff like that. So I'm gonna really enjoy it. I also like the cover. This is a hardcover version. I like the back with like an older, like really old Steve Jobs picture, but kind of cool. Black and white and all of that. So it's a really cool book. $50, I think, about to buy it.
Discounts on Amazon too.
Yeah, for sure. Like as always. But yeah, I think I paid more or less full price. So, but I don't care.
It's okay.
Like I honestly, and that's why I want to pick it, I never buy physical books. I usually don't. So this is one of the rare exceptions, but this book I wanted to have. So now I have both. I have the digital version, which is very different, which because it has all the, it has like audio clips and whatever. It doesn't have the pictures because it's hard, but it has like bonus audio clips and whatever that you wouldn't get in the printed book, sidebars and so on. And this here has the pictures. So I'll read to it. Thanks. Again.
I'll mention that he was on my show a couple weeks ago on episode 417. If you want to listen to that interview, he was also on Chuck's show a few weeks prior to that.
I can tell you one thing: I was super jealous. I wanted to talk to him. It was really fun. Like the interview was really fun.
He's just an amazing guy. He really is, and he was just so humble. And we had a lot of fun. Marty and Jeff were with me, so. I kept it to a small panel so you didn't get for sure. So many people.
no, for sure. But I was kind of jealous because I was like, I kind of wanted to talk to him. And the conversation you had was really cool. So I listened to it and I was like.
Yeah, appreciate that. And of course, he's going to be at MacStock in July too as well. Yes. And he's going to be signing books because Mike Potter was able to get 3 cases of books in a local bookseller. So he's going to be doing that. I'll bring my book, make sure I get him to sign it too. So, and an evening with David Pogue as well, going to be on Friday night. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
That's going to be really fun. Yeah. And the book, by the way, was an instant New York Times bestseller. Just saying.
Oh, yeah. It's like top five.
Still top five.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, Patrice, to your point, the photography, because one of the things I talked to him about, what he gathered up and put in there. I mean, they're the promo photos that we're all familiar with. Mm-hmm. They're photos that I have never, seen before, and they are memorable enough that I would have remembered them, if I'd ever seen them. So, it's just a great book for anybody. And the way David has put it together, you can dip into it and out of it. Mm-hmm. You don't have to read it cover to cover. You know, you can just kind of jump in and find something interesting, a little tidbit or a story, or you can go cover to cover. But it's a thoroughly enjoyable kind of thing.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah,
and he had unprecedented access to Apple. That was a big thing. That's what he said. You know, with that even got to talk to current employees too, and they allowed it. So that was
he had like archivists getting a lot of stuff from the archive and taking pictures for him and so on, really cool stuff. It's a really cool book. And it was also a really interesting book to just listen to. I mean, it's like you would expect that we know basically most of the stories, right? Because we've been doing this very deeply, very intensely for quite a long time, some longer than others. I think, Chuck, you've been doing this quite a long time. because you've been there from a very early time, we joined a little bit later, so
are you calling me old, Patrice? Is that what you're
No, you're young whippersnapper, right? That's what you are.
You're a whippersnapper.
Yeah, but it's like you would think that we know all the stories, right? Heard them. Like, why would we want to read this book? And then you go through it, and you're like, oh, I didn't know this. Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, I didn't. Oh, yeah. I forgot about this. Like, sometimes it's just like you forgot about it. Like, you might have known at some point, but you just forgot about it. So there's so many little interesting stories.
Yeah, Patrice, that's a really good point, because some of it is just, there's a bit of nostalgia, but there also are, if you're an Apple geek and, you're into that, great, but there are a lot of stories here that, you didn't know, you never heard for whatever reason.
Yeah, or that inspire you.
Or that you didn't hear the whole story.
Yes. So, yeah, exactly. No, there were a couple things that actually like hearing about them, even if I had vaguely familiar with the broad strokes of it. One, they were really interesting, but they were actually kind of inspiring the way they were the way it was told, and also the story itself was a bit inspiring. It was like, I kind of should be doing something like this. It's a good book.
Yeah.
Good book. So. Since I know that Chuck has a heart out, I actually do too. You do too. Okay. Yeah. I mean, you're both very, very busy people. I know that. And I'm, my brain is not working. So let's get out of here. Chuck, where can people find out more about you?
MacVoices.com is where you'll find everything that I publish. As I said, I'm back from NAB. The first NAB show was published yesterday. Nice. We've got more coming that'll be interspersed with all of our other content. The live show is Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern, youtube.com/MacVoicesTV. And on all the socials, you can catch up with me at Chuck Joyner. Thanks, Patrice.
Yeah, thanks, Chuck, for being here. It's always a pleasure with you. And Dave, also always a pleasure to be with you here. Me so well. Like, tell us about all the million shows you're on.
I know, I'm as bad as Marty.
Almost, yeah.
Yeah, you can find me at In Touch with iOS, intouchwithios.com, YouTube channel, youtube.com/intouchwithios. So let's go Sunday nights on the Neo Notebook with Marty and Eric. We're having a blast doing that show. It's and I'm loving my Neo. It's a really great machine. Monday nights, the Vision Profiles podcast, which you just celebrated 100 episodes. We had a mm-hmm. we had a little bit of a cameo appearance from Mr. Joyner here. Mm-hmm. A lot of fun with Marty and Eric as well. Tuesday nights, can't wait for Mac Voices Live to be back. We missed you last week. We're back next week. And then Thursday to record in Touch of iOS, and Friday's here. And so Blue Sky, Mastodon, Dave G65.
Very cool. Thank you. Yeah, you can find me every week. I only do 3 shows a week, so I'm behind very clearly. I need to create a couple more, I guess. Dave,
Marty's fault.
It's all Marty. Yeah, it's anyway, always Marty's fault. We know that. Yeah. Every week here on the Mac Show on Fridays, the Mac Show on Thursdays, everything I'm doing, social media links, podcasts, projects, all of it on my website. ThePatrice.com will take you there. And with Jeff, Retro Rewatch. We rewatch retro TV shows, and then we talk about it and have fun with it and rewrite the show sometimes. I posted, we're still rewatching Stargate SG-1. We're in season 4. Posted Scorched Earth last week. So if I knew what was next, I would tell you. But of course, I've not looked that up. So next episode is coming out tomorrow, ultimately. So I think it's beneath the surface, but I might be wrong.
Nice.
So, British Tech Network is, by the way, also on social media. We're at britishtech@techhangout.social on Mastodon. I always confuse the Mastodon and the email. We're at britishtechnetwork@gmail.com email. And we're at britishtechnetwork.com on Blue Sky. And I think Ewan still has a X/Twitter/whatever it's called today.
What's that?
But I don't know. I don't use it. But I think he still has it if someone cares. Yeah, with that, thank you so much for everything. We'll talk to you next week. And yeah, bye-bye.
Bye.